Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I had a funny message that came in on the Montana Talks app. I think this came in yesterday afternoon. This came from Michael in Bozeman. I hear Tim Sheehy will be guest starring as himself on an episode of Yellowstone. And he'll be taking a certain Senate Democrat to the train station. Of course, all in jest there, but that was a message from Michael in Bozeman. Hey, I just heard the audio. Our producer, Travis Lee, snagged the audio. Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning. And what a great intro by the great Lawrence Jones. But heck, Tim Sheehy is with us right now, right here on Montana Talks. Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, congratulations, my friend. Wow.
Well, it's a new day in America, Aaron, and what a referendum. I mean, across the board, what a referendum from coast to coast. You know, all the polls were wrong. The mainstream media was wrong. You know, we were told Kamala was going to win Iowa and it was going to be a nail biter. And guess what? America spoke and they want common sense back. And we got it here in Montana, too.
What do you think got it done?
Policy. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to hear about, you know, all the psychological conditions people were internalizing, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, people vote with their wallets. They vote for what's best for their children. They vote for what's best for their receipts coming home from the grocery store for their gas tank, and people voted and said the last 3.5 years have been a disaster for all Americans, all races, color, creeds, doesn't matter. There's been no positive trend line in any indication these last 3.5 years. People want the Trump economy back. They want America First policies back. And it's that simple. You know, we're going to hear all these pundits of talking heads give their psychoanalysis of what went on. The bottom line is people want what's good for them. They want what's good for their families, for their businesses, and for their communities. And that's what they voted with this election, and we saw it loud and clear, up and down the ticket, coast to coast.
It was so incredible being at your election night victory party, Governor Greg Gianforte's race, getting called at 8:03 p.m., 3 minutes after the polls had closed, a sweep for statewide Republicans across the board. When did it become clear to you that you were going to be the senator-elect?
Well, it was pretty clear coming about 9 or 10 p.m., just the early returns and looking at the trend lines from previous elections, that the trend line was definitely going in our direction. And as we know, in the final few days before the election, we were seeing all kinds of polls from engineers from all these different groups trying to say that the race had tightened, that, you know, that John Tester was going to survive again and that, you know, we'd run a terrible campaign. Newsweek ran an article that, you know, we'd fumbled this campaign. Then, of course, what happens, you know, we win with a decisive mandate landslide, and it was pretty clear coming about 9:30, 10 p.m. we were going to win, not by how much, but pretty soon thereafter, you know, we saw the trend line going where it was. You know, we waited till it was the counties had called and we were in the bag, of course, till about 2:30 in the morning to officially say, hey, we got this thing. But it was pretty clear as polls started to close, we were looking good.
Lawrence Jones said it on Fox and Friends this morning. He said Tim Sheehy didn't only defeat John Tester, he blew John Tester out of the water, an 8-point victory, looking at the latest numbers here. We'll take a quick break here on Montana Talks. Tim Sheehy is going to stick around and join us for the next segment as well, and then more to follow after that.
Securing America.
Lieutenant General Douglas Schess, commander for the U.S. Space Force, participated in a conversation with the Mitchell Institute for Aerospace Studies Wednesday, during which he described the challenges the Space Force faces.
There are many adversaries out there that are using space to be able to put our navies, our armies, and our air forces at risk.
First and foremost on that list is China.
China is rapidly launching a kill web to be able to target our maritime forces, our air forces, and just about any of our forces, and put them at risk at a much greater distance than they were in the past.
Not far behind China, General Schess says, is Russia.
There's talk of them having a nuclear capability in space, and so they are ratcheting up their capabilities to hold us at risk in the space domain.
The general also says we have to defend our own space assets. Jim Buretsky, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. A new government study reveals cases of diabetes are on the rise in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data finds nearly one in six adults has diabetes. That's 16% of the population. Most of the cases are type 2 diabetes. The report also shows men are more prone to the blood sugar disease than women. It also finds about 4.5% of adult Americans aren't even aware they have diabetes. Data also shows the risk of developing type 2 is strongly linked to obesity and increasing age. The new data was collected from mid-2021 through mid-2023 and appears in the NCHS data brief. And while we're on the topic, a different study published in Scientific Reports finds regular physical activity helps to slow the aging of those with type 2 diabetes and that the optimal amount of physical activity per week is 594 minutes. That's just over 1 hour and 20 minutes per day. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. With 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a quick few minutes here with Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, the senator-elect here for the great state of Montana. Tim, you and I talked a little bit more during the break here, but, you know, I'm not just thankful that you won and that John Tester lost. I'm thankful that the entire left-wing John Tester machine lost on Tuesday. The media that was so awful with the way they treated you and your family, these out-of-state special interest groups. How did we win? Why did we win from your standpoint?
Again, go back to common sense. People were voting with for what's good for them and their communities and families and businesses. And what was good for them was, of course, the America First agenda. But how we reminded people of that, because as you said, it's so hard to punch through the noise in the media when they have a narrative. You know, they're not interested in truth. They're interested in their narrative, and they will push that narrative, and they'll cherry-pick facts to support that narrative. And how we beat that was a tremendous ground game. And, you know, our campaign organically, all 56 counties, multiple times, all over the state. We knew we couldn't trust our message to be filtered through social media or the media, so we delivered it directly from my mouth to their ears in person every time. And then we had these amazing groups like Americans for Prosperity, Susan B. Anthony, Young Republicans, who literally hit the ground, knocked every door, literally a ground game, one door at a time, one neighborhood at a time, every single town, and said, listen, here's the information. Here's a piece of paper that's showing the data behind this election and these policies. You need to know the facts, and here's how you have to support the policies that are important to you. And that ground game, you know, overcame a 3-to-4-to-1 funding disadvantage. It overcame the power of a very entrenched and senior incumbent. It overcame the power of the entire media complex arrayed against it. And it just goes back to show, that the ground game matters. Just like you and I learned during the wars, you can have all the technology in the world, you can have all the money in the world, but at the end of the day, ground game is what wins, and that's what won this election.
It all comes down to that guy on the ground. I actually wrote a piece for Infantry Magazine quoting my company commander making that very point about Ramadi, Iraq. That's remarkable. What do you want to say to your supporters out there and the people that voted for you?
Well, first of all, thank you for your confidence in me. Thank you for taking a chance because obviously I'm an unknown and a lot of folks have just gotten to get to know me here in the last several months. But thank you for realizing that I've served this country since I was 18, whether it was on the battlefields of Iraq, Afghanistan, or elsewhere, to the front lines of wildfires. You know, my wife's parents' home just burned down last night in a wildfire. It's a huge threat. And thank you to those first responders in so many ways that are out there fighting every single day to protect us. So that's been the priority of my life. I think folks recognize that. They may not know me, but they looked at my record of service and said, this guy's going to continue to fight for me. And for those that didn't support me, listen, you know, I serve you too. And I'll earn your confidence these next few years because in a foxhole in Afghanistan, there's no Democrats or Republicans. We're all Americans. And I think what this election showed is overwhelmingly Americans are ready for America First policies back. And we're going to have to work together to make some progress there. And it's important for everybody to remember, too, this election's over. No one's, I think, eager for more ads in the next election. But the truth is, it will take sustained engagement to make sure we hold that these gains that we've made. Because if we don't stay engaged, these can slip away. Because George Soros and the dark money machine will already be at work tomorrow morning trying to undo everything that happened. So the state GOP of Montana is seeing a fantastic, you know, a winning streak. We got to keep that going. We got to keep investing in these groups that are going to put your priorities first. And that doesn't necessarily mean money, but just stay engaged and ensure that if you can volunteer and help out, go to these events that organize your local Republican Party. Go to some of these, like today, Riley Gaines is going to be in Bozeman talking about, you know, family first, boys and girls sports, all that stuff. Remain engaged, because if you don't stay engaged, other people will. And those who show up make the decisions. So stay engaged, even though, you know, we'll be between elections. We got to keep the ground game going. We got to make sure that the policies that are important to us are the ones that are being passed and implemented.
My wife, Jessica, and I will be at the Riley Gaines event tonight. So much looking forward to seeing a great warrior like Riley Gaines there tonight. A couple minutes before we get to our break here, Tim Sheehy, Senator-elect Tim Sheehy on the phone lines with us. I ran into our friend Tim Cherwin, who, you know, great Army veteran who worked for you at Bridger Aerospace. And as we were sitting there waiting for the results, waiting for your race to be called, looking up at the big screen, I said, I feel like we're sitting at like the air terminal in Kuwait waiting for our C-17 home. We know we're going home, but until those numbers change, we're not going to know we're going home until we get on that C-17.
That's exactly right. And you know, I think we all had confidence it was going to come in, but, you know, we're all superstitious, especially us military folks that have been downrange and see that, you know, the hand of God or the hand of chance can tip things either way. We don't want to count our chickens, but we did know it was going to come in. And it was great to have Tim there, and so many, so much of that crowd was co-founders, employees, you know, from Bridger Aerospace, from other companies, fellow veterans. And, it was great to see that outpouring of support. Because, those people there knew me. They've seen me in action for years. They know that I'm someone who's going to put the interests of our state and our country first always. And I think, you know, again, this election was a referendum on special interests, on the entrenched dark money groups in this country. This is people saying, I want a government that is accountable to the people again. I want a government that works for the people, not the other way around. And it's about time we bring common sense back. So I think that's what all Americans said pretty clearly yesterday. And hopefully with Trump in the White House here, and he has got a Senate and hopefully a House, a trifecta, we're going to be able to get a lot of stuff done, like to secure the border, unleash American energy, keep taxes low so we stop taking money from our people and sending it to a failed bureaucracy. We unleash our economy, we start getting stuff done again.
Well, Tim Sheehy, again, God bless you and your family. Thanks for being willing to step into the fight and put up with everything you and your family had to put up with. To tell your wife, Carmen, thanks, and give those kids a hug on behalf of all of us. Just remarkable. He's off to Washington, D.C. already next week to begin the transition. Tim Sheehy, thanks for joining us. In honor.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. God bless. Quick break. We'll get to your phone calls and more. Plus, we got Jonathan Savage, Fox News Radio.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. 30 years without parole. That's the sentence in federal prison for David DePatt, the man convicted of attacking Paul Pelosi with a hammer. He's the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. A San Francisco jury found DePatt guilty of charges, including aggravated kidnapping, first-degree burglary, and false imprisonment of an elder. Paul Pelosi was 82 years old at the time of the attack. After the sentence, the Pelosi family characterized the legal process as grueling and said that, quote, justice had been served. DePatt attacked Pelosi on October 28, 2022. The attack was captured on a police body camera just days before the midterm election. He suffered head wounds, including a skull fracture that was mended with plates and screws. DePatt is a Canadian citizen who had been living in the U.S. for years. He admitted during his federal trial that he planned to hold Nancy Pelosi hostage, document the interrogation, and break her knees if she didn't admit to what he termed lies about the Russian election interference investigation in 2016. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Are you?
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. If you are already on the phone line, stand by. We will get to you. Or if you want to call in, give us a ring, 406 214-294-0970. We'll have plenty of time to take your phone calls here for the next hour and a half or so. But first, how are leaders all around the world, how are world leaders reacting to the big elections across the United States this week, including the election of President Donald J. Trump? Jonathan Savage joins us from London with Fox News Radio. Jonathan, thanks so much for your time this morning. Yeah, what are the most interesting reactions from your perch there in London?
Yeah, I think something that's interesting is that some people are having to clean up their internet history, their social media history, and do a bit of an about face. I'm speaking particularly here in the UK. Let me tell you about David Lammy. He's the British Foreign Secretary. That's our version of the Secretary of State, our top diplomat. A few years ago, when he was in opposition, not in government, he tweeted that Donald Trump is a woman-hating, neo-Nazi-sympathizing sociopath and a profound threat to the international order. Well, things have changed. There have been two elections, and both David Lammy and Donald Trump are in positions of power. So yesterday, David Lammy tweeted, "The UK has no greater friend than the US. Congratulations to Donald Trump. We look forward to working with you and J.D. Vance in the years ahead."
Yeah, quite the turnaround there, yeah. I think one of my favorite pictures was Javier Milei of Argentina. I mean, he just, when he hugged Donald Trump, it was like a kid meeting his favorite football hero or something like that. Europe in general already was starting to see a political shift across Europe in terms of moving away from Green New Deal style leaders to more of these Trump style populists in a way, right?
Yeah, I think that's certainly the case. And it's also been a really bad year for incumbents around the world. In the UK, bucking the trend a little bit by rejecting Conservatives in favour of a leftist centre party. But across the European continent, there are signs of right-wing parties on the rise. And in fact, of course, Italy has, in Giorgia Meloni, one of its most right-wing prime ministers it's had for some time. Right now, as we're talking, about 50 European leaders are meeting in Hungary, and Hungarian Prime Minister and other Donald Trump's allies, essentially. This meeting wasn't set up because of Donald Trump, but it's absolutely dominated by trying to assess what the transatlantic relationship is going to be in the next few years. There are two main issues. One of them is Ukraine. Will the U.S. continue to support Ukraine's defense? And secondly, the economy. The European economies are sluggish, and Donald Trump has threatened tariffs, which could send a chill down the spine of many European leaders.
Of course, if we do see this continued economic, I mean, the stock market just went crazy back here in the United States following the news that President Trump was elected. And so I'm assuming that if the U.S. economy starts to lift, that rising tide would lift all boats there across the world. What are some of the other leaders? I think I saw the Prime Minister of India had an interesting reaction to President Trump. I didn't get to read that story. And then, of course, you know, Xi Jinping, China, is always going to have a very targeted message when responding to big events like this as well.
Yeah, starting with China and Xi Jinping, he today has congratulated Donald Trump himself, and he's urged the two countries to find the right way to get along. From his perspective, he's got another country with a sluggish economy, and at the same time, the return of Donald Trump is the return of the man who imposed very significant tariffs on China. They were kept in place by Joe Biden, but Donald Trump is threatening even more stricter tariffs against China. So he could be concerned about what Donald Trump's election will mean for the Chinese economy. More enthusiastic, as you were suggesting there, is Narendra Modi, the Indian leader. He says that there are opportunities and that India is open to freeing up market access for American firms.
Yeah, that's great news. I know our pulse crop producers here in Montana, peas, lentils, et cetera, they've done trade missions to India, et cetera. So they see that as a very, well, of course, it's such a massive population center and economic center. That could be big. That could be very big. Well, Jonathan Savage, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for the update.
Thank you.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about, or hey, maybe you still want to react to the big election news, because yesterday I tried to get to as many Montana Talks app messages as I could as I was broadcasting live from the Rockin' R in Bozeman. But today we're back in studio now, so we can actually hear from you and take your phone calls. Let's see. Let's go to Francis in Big Four. I think we lost Goose and Anaconda. I was going to get to Goose and Anaconda, but we lost his phone call. But Francis in Big Fork, I tell you what, young lady, you have got to be feeling good. You worked so hard. You have been on top of these elections since day one. How are you feeling after the election?
Wonderful. I went to my Tops Club. Everybody was happy. Went to our community dinner last night. Everybody was happy. I'm thrilled. But I could tell when Tim would go, I hope you don't mind me calling you Tim, would go from place to place, and if I would go place to place for different fundraisers and stuff, and the crowd just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and so I knew he'd win.
Yeah, wasn't it crazy? Because you know, we go back a year ago, Francis, and there were a lot of people. They were like, who is this Tim Sheehy guy? Why is he running? Yeah. And I knew Tim Sheehy, you know, from day one, practically, when he, you know, got out of the military and he and his wife started this business here in Montana. So I'm like, man, this guy's the real deal. So I knew exactly why this guy was going to be a great candidate. But for other people, they were skeptical. And then they saw him. And then I remember I was out in eastern Montana, and there were a lot of people out there that were like, hey, well, we don't know this guy, you know. And I said, well, I'm a veteran. I know him. And then he went out. I don't know if he was in Broadus. And there were people that went down to Broadus to go listen to him speak. And they were skeptical. And somebody who was in the room told me everybody who was skeptical of Tim Sheehy before they went down to that event in Broadus are now fully at his back. It was a remarkable campaign.
Yeah, I know. I think seen him at Pachyderm, and then I've seen him, you know, at all kinds of different places right around the valley here. And, you know, you could just tell he's humble. He wouldn't even say what he, you know, the good things he did. He was just so humble. And when a man's like that, you know he's great.
Well, and what about, too, you know, Ryan Zinke not only winning his race, because that Western, you know, the Eastern Congressional, I kind of felt bad for Troy Downing. I joked with Troy Downing yesterday. I said, you know, Troy, it's funny because all these other races are getting all this attention because, you know, the big Senate race and all this. But he so clearly won his election. So I was kind of joking with him that you're like, hey, I'm over here. I won my election several hours ago. But the Eastern Congressional seat is so safe Republican that everybody knew Troy Downing was going to win.
I think that was it. But Troy is a very nice person.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so he
yeah.
should have won.
Well, but then everybody's like, okay, well, what about the Western Congressional District? Because it doesn't matter how good you are there. Well, it does. But it's a tougher race because the Democrats gerrymandered that so they could try to get a win. And at about 2 a.m, they thought they still had a chance. And I said, you just wait till the votes come out of Flathead County, and that's what we'll see what this race really looks like. I'm looking at the latest numbers right now, and here's Ryan Zinke, a 7-point victory, according to the latest numbers, over Democrat Monica Tranel. So a big victory by Ryan Zinke in the West.
Well, Ryan might sometimes not be perfect, but boy, he's a hell of a lot better than she is, that's for sure.
Well, none of us are perfect. I still haven't found a perfect church. Have you found the perfect church yet, too, Francis?
I like my church.
But
you may have, well, part of the guys at the Too Tall. No, you weren't there. Ryan Zinke was there. And I brought half our church with to go see Zinke.
Well, yeah, I like my church, too. I love my church, too. There are so many incredible churches. I mean, in Billings, Montana, there are incredible churches, incredible pastors. You could swing a cat and find a great church, but none of them are perfect.
Well, ours is, you know, kind of like he went in the Army, and then he became a Ranger, and then he was a SEAL Team 17. Chaplain.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I got to meet him. He's incredible. All right. I better not go on too much longer because I got other callers I got to get to here as well. But Francis, great to hear from you. My point being is that no matter how great these churches are, None of them are perfect, and none of these candidates are ever going to be perfect. But I'll tell you what, hard to find an election day that even the election day wasn't perfect. It was a great election day, but it wasn't perfect all around. Let's see, who do we got next up? Lee in Kalispell. Lee, what's on your mind?
Yes, this deals with the sanctions. I think they should be put back on. That was the best thing that Trump had ever done to help Israel. Because if you put the sanctions back on, once we have the oil reserve put back, and we have the oil here in the United States, we could sell it. They put the sanctions back on Iran, and anybody buying from Iran would also be sanctioned. So that we wouldn't have our troops involved, and it would also bankrupt Iran, so they couldn't afford to support their other terrorists.
Yeah, in other words, the free ride for America's enemies is about to be over, isn't it, Lee?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's so tragic what has happened, you know, over the past 4 years, and on the international stage, as Lee is just pointing out here as well, it is so tragic because Donald Trump had us on a path towards peace in the Middle East. We referenced this yesterday with the rabbi, and then, you know, Biden Harris, they come in and they unleash all this oil money for Iran, and what do? They use that money to launch a reign of terror. A reign of terror, which is hopefully soon about to come to an end. All right, next up on the phone lines right after this, Jonathan McNiven. Stand by, Jonathan. You'll be up first.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, what a colossal failure, not just for the Democrats in Montana. Well, I guess they're also the Democrats in Montana. But you'll get my point here in a second. What a colossal failure for the Montana media, by and large. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. That what a failure. I mean, the TV stations. Was there one TV station that wasn't in the bag for Liberal Senator John Tester? Was there one TV station that did good, fair news coverage this election cycle? I'm asking you guys, because there's got to be one TV station that did it. Because, I mean, KTVQ, it was so sad to see them throw their reputation right down the trash can by fully going in the bag for John Tester, because they've always had such a good reputation. And there's good people that work there, but unfortunately their political coverage was just so blatantly biased towards John Tester. The Lee newspapers have always been the liberal Lee newspapers, so you expect what you get out of there, right? Color 8 wasn't any better. The nonstop local stations. I mean, it was embarrassingly pathetic, their political coverage. I mean, this is a talk show. I do commentary. And so if you want to do commentary, then start your own talk show. Label it as commentary, but don't pretend to be news when you're pushing your liberal partisan agenda. But of course, it's not everybody in the media that was bad. There's some. I mean, we got Kelly Seifert up with the BS Buzz in Glasgow, produces a nightly publication, and hey, you know what? He's been pumping out great information. And then, of course, there's the Yellowstone County News, which has been doing a great job as well. Jonathan McNiven now on the phone lines. What's going on, Jonathan?
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me on. We've actually just passed 10 years for us owning the Yellowstone County News.
Congrats. And,
You know, now that the dust is kind of settling, you know, I've kind of just reflected a little bit. And yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have their own, I think, spin. I know our newspaper, we take a fiscal perspective approach. You know, we're a fiscal, hyper-local weekly newspaper out of Billings. And, you know, we've just keep gaining and hitting benchmarks we've never been hit before, you know, becoming the official publication of record for all legal advertising for the city of Billings, as well as for the county. And, you know, one thing about our newspapers, and at least our newspaper is, hopefully we've got all the hard news on the front page. we've got our weekly columnists, you know, we have our conservative leaning, we have our liberal leaning, columnists in our paper. And then if there's certain sections that are the appropriate sections in the newspaper, and I've tried to keep it that way, you know, and then we've got our letters to the editor. And the amount of letters to the editor we got this year, I think it just reflects the vibrancy of the Yellowstone County News. But now that the dust has settled, I've kind of just reflected what really happened. You know, you just had a no-name, Tim Sheehy, basically, you know, that had not run before for political office, take on an incumbent that has been reelected, you know, two times before. And I kind of wonder, and I've kind of reflected a little bit, what is the one thing that I saw, first of all, that really put him, I think, in a good strategic and a good position to connect with the voters? And I don't know if you remember, but, you know, when I went up to Bozeman in August, early August, when Trump came to Bozeman, and Tim Sheehy, you know, with the race with Matt Rosendale, and there was a lot of that kind of tension with how, you know, kind of that situation, and Tim Sheehy was able to go and Matt Rosendale stepped down. But what I saw at Bozeman, to me, was the defining moment of how Tim Sheehy connected with all of the voters. He had a captive audience when Trump came, and all day long, my reporter and I were out there just trying to get feedback and information from the people, and Tim Sheehy was out there pounding the pavement. I bet I counted, as I just sat back and watched, he was taking pictures with people about every 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And they all had a connection. They all had a reason. They put a face to the name, and then they carried that statewide. And he did that three different times that I saw personally on that day while everybody was standing in line, sitting in line, sleeping in line, that got there at 6:30 in the morning just to get into that Trump rally.
That's such a great point.
He was already out there pounding the pavement. And to me, that was the defining moment. You don't see some of the other ones. I mean, I know they already have good name recognition, but what a best way for Tim Sheehy to catapult himself and take advantage of the opportunity that was there.
Yeah, he took this. It ties in with what he told us earlier. That's such a great point there, Jonathan, and thanks for calling in. Yeah, I got a bunch of other callers I want to get to here as well. But, no, what a great point you make here that Tim took this fight directly to the people because he knew he was going to be outspent. He knew the liberal media was going to be, you know, basically flacking for John Tester the whole time. I don't think he knew how badly they would be flacking for John Tester. They were even worse than I expected them to be, frankly. But that whole point, when Tim Sheehy got on the stage, he captivated that crowd at the Trump rally. He proved exactly why so many people wanted him to be that Senate candidate. But more importantly to what Jonathan just pointed out there, and Jonathan, thanks again for the call. Congrats on your success, is that he didn't just try to ride the Trump wave. He didn't just try to let Donald Trump carry him across the finish line and just say, well, you know what, I'm going to just let Donald Trump carry me across the finish line. No, he got out there and took the fight directly to the people day in and day out and didn't just try to ride the wave. Great point there. Jonathan, let's go to Justin in Roundup next. Justin, what's on your mind?
Hey, you were talking about Tim Sheehy. You know, not very many people knew him, and your last caller said he was unknown. But he is really fastly being known around the nation. I have a friend in Georgia who just messaged me and said, hey, man, congratulations on Tim Sheehy. I just went through his record. What an amazing record he has. What a hero he is. And he keeps serving not only your state, but he keeps serving the nation. And he wants a Tim Sheehy in his state. So he's
that's right.
He's getting known very fast. He's, you know, he was an unknown. I didn't know him until this election, but I was also in the Bozeman Trump rally, and I saw him speak there, and I got handed a Tim Sheehy yard sign from his campaign, and I put that in my yard, and, you know, it was just, he stands alone on his record, which is people are knowing him for, but now we're going to get to see him in action, and it's
right.
Going to be amazing. So excited. Hey,
you were probably getting this, Justin, if I remember your voice here. You're a military veteran. You've served over 20 years, countless years overseas, right? I'm thinking of the right guy, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So I was here. It was so cool. One of the coolest things about election night and on through the next morning is I had fellow combat veterans all across America reaching out to me. Hey, how's it looking in Montana? Oh, man, look at this news. Not just about Donald Trump. They wanted to know what was up with Tim Sheehy and what was up with the Senate race in Montana. And it was so cool. One of the guys that I was hearing from who I get this message from, you know, he reaches out. He says, hey, how's it looking? How's it looking out there? We taken the upper chamber. And I said, with Marino in Ohio, it's in the bag. And I said, and Sheehy is about to kick testers. You know what? And he said back to me, he says, that's what I was looking for. But this guy, let me tell you, this guy, I've never even met this guy. He was the platoon leader in Ramadi, Iraq, before I showed up in Ramadi, Iraq. I was his replacement because he got severely wounded in Ramadi, and he is probably one of the best leaders out there. The guys absolutely loved him, and then they got stuck with me, unfortunately for them. But that's the type of people that I was hearing from. It's like, wow, this remarkable leader who was wounded in Ramadi and then got back into the fight and is still serving to this day. And that's the type of combat veterans that were reaching out saying, hey, how's it looking in Montana? How cool is that?
Very cool, very cool. I'm glad to see that everybody's watching Montana. I love it so much.
Well, Justin, thanks for your service. Thanks for calling in. Great to hear your thoughts this morning as well. Steve in Bozeman next up. Steve, what's on your mind?
Good morning, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I'm not a Republican. I'm a constitutional conservative, which probably puts me a little bit further on the Richter scale to the right, perhaps.
I'm with Sean Hannity. I don't think a lot of us like to describe ourselves as a Republican or a Democrat or anything. Yeah, we'd say we're conservatives.
It's a uniparty, you know. And my point was that I mentioned to the screener is a cleaning house. I'm so excited we won after 4 years ago. That was an absolute travesty, and people committed treason on a massive scale. And I hope that will come out in coming months and years, but and that people are held accountable. But the point of my call really is that we can celebrate that, but we need to clean our own house. We need to clean our house within the conservative movement. I think we have a mandate for, you know, the MAGA movement is a conservative populist movement. And
yeah, I agree.
Honestly, there's no room, in my opinion, for establishment Republicans. And one of the main reasons why...
Sorry, we're short on time, but no, I agree. There is a mandate. I totally agree. Stand by.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Here's the next thing I want to say to all of you. I want to say thank you. The stated policies of Kamala Harris... And I have nothing against her personally, and she has conceded this race. I want to thank all of you for taking the blessings of liberty, the blessing of this great constitutional republic and our constitutional right to vote, and taking the time to be educated and casting a vote to stop what is the single most radical, extreme stated agenda of any presidential candidate I can think of in American history. It would have been a disaster, a predictable disaster.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
What credit card is in your wallet, and do you know what causes they may support? I sat down recently with Rob Collins, CEO of the values-based Coin credit card. You spell Coin COIGN. Now, Coin welcomes smart consumers with shared values, not a corporation supporting extreme left-wing agendas. And the Visa-backed Coin credit card is accepted everywhere they accept Visa. There's no annual fee. You're going to be proud to pull it out of your wallet or your purse. You can even use it from your mobile phone. It's that simple. Now, Coin gives back a percentage of every purchase on the Coin card to nonprofits that share and support your values. As a card member, you get to vote on which charity will get the money. And Coin has 100% U.S.-based customer service. Here's the bottom line. Get woke out of your wallet and earn cash back on every purchase. Go to Coin, COIGN.com, apply today. That's Coin, COIGN.com, and select Hannity in the drop-down menu. Check out Coin.com today.
Hey. This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Are governments getting smarter about the economy? Take the issue of price controls for energy. Some of us are old enough to remember the 70s when price controls were just one of many, many bad economic policies we pursued. There were controls on gasoline prices even before the Arab oil embargo pushed oil prices up by a factor of five. Remember lines of cars trying to buy gas? It was an ugly situation. It might have happened again in Germany just a few years ago when the Russians cut off deliveries of natural gas in protest of German sanctions caused by the Ukrainian war. With winter done just ahead, many predicted shortages and a deep recession. Instead, the government let prices alone, although they did give generous lump-sum payments to households to help compensate for the impact on their budgets. And at the same time, they plunged full speed into fast-tracking liquefied natural gas terminal construction that increased their capacity to import from elsewhere. Those policies, plus a little luck from the form of a milder winter, helped Germany survive. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you this anymore. Go check it out now. Just click over to crystalflash.com.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Okay, we're very short on time here, but I want to get to a couple more callers. Plus, Grandpa Lou just popped into our studio, so I want to get a chance to say hi to him as well. Steve in Bozeman, yeah, we got cut off by the break there, but no, I totally agree with you. It's time to clean house, not just to clean house with the deep state in Washington, but clean our own house as well. Get rid of these Mitt Romney-type styles that are holding us down. That's why I'm glad the Republicans are expanding their numbers in the Senate, because we got to make up for the Lisa Murkowskis of the world, don't we?
Well, I can't get behind a guy that, like Mitch McConnell. That's why I can't be a member of the Republican Party. You know, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Mike Johnson has been really a huge disappointment to me personally. And I talked to a lot of people, in the state, Republicans, and there's some house cleaning we need to do here.
Yeah, but Mitch McConnell is on his way out as Senate Majority Leader, so you should be excited about that fact. And look, the people that are saying, "Well, I'm disappointed in Speaker of the House Mike Johnson," you would have, and I hate to break it to you, but you would have been disappointed in whoever the Republican Speaker of the House would have been, because the Republicans didn't have the numbers to do what you wanted them to do. And what we're going to see right now is the Republicans are going to have fewer numbers now in the House of Representatives. But no matter how few that majority might be, a majority is still important, because you know what the Democrats would do with that majority? Do everything they can to impeach and undermine Donald Trump. So a majority still matters, even if they don't have the numbers that we would want to get some other things done. That's just my take. All right, Roger in Billings, what's on your mind?
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Was kind of flying under the radar during this election process is the situation in Ukraine. North Korea is now actively engaged in battle. And my question is, what is our position on this? Should we respond? Should we ignore it? Or what? What's your opinion?
Yes.
I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
I appreciate it, Roger. Yeah, I mean, look, North Korea sends 3,000 of their soldiers to Ukraine. Well, I mean, first it begs the question, if you were stuck in North Korea, would you rather be sent to war in Ukraine, or would you rather be stuck in a dictatorial regime like North Korea? I don't know. You might be better off getting the heck out of North Korea and then somehow going missing on the battlefield, if you ask me. But look, the way I see it, that's not our war. So if somebody else sends their troops into that war, again, I think Donald Trump is going to start cleaning up a lot of this mess around the world. That's my take. Grandpa Lou in the house. Holy cow, brother. Good to see you.
Thank you very much, Aaron, and thank you for everything that you do. And I just want to mention that I was at the Metro all day Tuesday from 0:30
God bless you.
In the morning. And I tried calling you at 10 after 7 or so. I was astounded at the line of people. It was down around the corner, up the stairs, past the American flag, the Montana flag, and the bronzes up there of Mortensen, up the stairs, halfway to the parking lot. And that was 10 minutes after we opened up the polls.
Yeah.
Everything was great all day long. Everybody was polite. There was only one person that I had problems with. And I went to get the sheriff, and he disappeared. But he was trying to intimidate people in line and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's... I believe that's against the law.
People were still voting in Yellowstone County at like 2 in the morning the following day.
Absolutely, and I think that's why the Sheehy race, my brother Tim Sheehy, and you know him better than I do, I think that's why his race was called so late, because until the last person voted,
they couldn't release the numbers.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Grandpa Lou, you deserve so much thanks from everybody across Montana. Every single day you've been at that campaign office working and busting your butt, and you've been calling into this show, so thanks for all you've done.
That's the least that I could do. And I want to thank everybody else. There's people there that have worked 100, 200, 300 days in a row. And what makes me so happy is most of them were young people. I was so,
see that next generation come up.
I was kind of disappointed.
We've got a chance not just for today, but for tomorrow as well.
And that's great why we all do this.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
With President-elect Trump's huge victory, a flood of leaks is coming from the Kamala Harris camp, also known as the blame game. For example, Joe Biden. Why didn't the president get out of the race sooner? Why did he run for re-election at all, given his mental condition? Other Democrats, and these are all unnamed sources, saying it's Kamala Harris's fault. Why didn't she separate herself from the unpopular president? Why couldn't she come up with a single thing that she would do differently? Meanwhile, the media, the day after, grappling with something they did not expect to happen. Many had openly rooted for the vice president, thought that she would win. And not only did they botch the election prediction, which in light of the flawed polls is understandable, they really misjudged the country. And Peter Baker of the New York Times said, this shows that Trump is no longer in operation. This is Trump's America. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.